Well, thanks so much for joining us here on Cranford Radio, our first episode of 2024. My name is Bernie Wagenblast. On Tuesday, January 23rd, Cranford voters will have the opportunity to go to the polls to vote in a bond referendum. It concerns the Cranford Public Schools, and today we're going to be discussing that on Cranford Radio. I'm joined by Dr. Scott Rubin. He is the superintendent of Cranford Public Schools. Dr. Rubin, welcome to Cranford Radio.
Thank you so much for having me, Bernie. Happy New Year to you and all of your listeners.
Thank you so much. Well, as I mentioned, there is a bond referendum. It is for $75 million. Why don't we start with the very basics? What is a referendum?
Thank you, Bernie. So really, a referendum is really commonly used by schools to make repairs and renovations that wouldn't be possible through the annual operating costs. The normal annual budget would not hold it. It also gives districts access to state aid, which they would not ordinarily be entitled to, except for through this bond referendum. And in this particular case, that state aid will cover about a quarter of the costs.
Talking about costs, as I mentioned, it's for $75 million. You mentioned just now the state is going to be covering a portion of that. Give us a little bit of a breakdown of what portion is being paid for by the state and what portion is going to be paid for by Cranford residents.
Absolutely. And Bernie, if you wouldn't mind, if we could actually even just back up a little bit before we get into those numbers, just a reminder for folks, you know, we've been having this conversation about a bond referendum for several years. You know, when we first started out, I did a look, listen, learn tour throughout the community and got to listen to, honest reflections of where we are. Obviously, there's a lot to be proud of in Cranford Public Schools and very excited about the things that we've been able to accomplish. But there are also areas that people had pointed out that really need attention to, especially as it relates to our facilities and some of the other ways that could make education even more exciting and student directed. And so after we had all those conversations, we proposed a plan to the community, and then we continued the conversation. We had several sessions throughout our entire community, and we took that feedback very seriously. Ultimately, that led to a survey where people could share what their desires are throughout the community, and then ultimately led to a steering committee. So the referendum, the items that are proposed in this referendum, a majority of the respondents who filled out the survey it's reflective of their desires. And so obviously we got slowed down by the pandemic, which took a while, and obviously our focus had to be on that. And then after, at the conclusion of the pandemic, we had sent all the information not only to the Department of Education, who approved it, but also to the New Jersey DEP, the Department of Environmental Protection. And so they took almost a year and a half to review the plans and go back and forth and for us to make modifications. And listen, while I was sad that it took that long, I'm not sad that they did such a thorough review and are in a place where they approved it, and we were able to satisfy all of the requirements that are there. You know, our first goal in this referendum, right, is to do no harm. We want all the upgrades and enhancements without doing any sort of harm. And, you know, it's Cranford is a place that floods. So, you know, having the DEP do that thorough review was critical in us now being able to come out and provide, this opportunity for the voters to be able to have their voices being heard. Mm-hmm. Now, for your original question, the overall cost is $75 million. Of that, about a quarter of it goes to the kindergarten addition. So that's $20.9 million. And then $54.1 million goes to the upgrades and renovations. So basically, about three quarters of it is going to go to those upgrades and renovations. About a quarter of it is for full day kindergarten. And it just so happens about a quarter of it will be accounted for through state aid, will be covered through state aid.
And I want to get into much more detail about what this is going to pay for. But again, I just want to try to lay the groundwork in terms of understanding the referendum, how that works. If voters approve this, how long is the bond being paid off? How long will this be something that will be paid for by the Cranford residents?
It'll be over a 25-year period.
Mm-hmm. So we talked a little bit about what the costs are, but more importantly, what would these costs go toward? What is this referendum going to potentially pay for?
Yeah, so it is a hearty referendum for sure. If approved by the voters, we would have improvements at all eight of our schools, obviously to maintain the quality of education that our community values. But all of our schools would have substantial upgrades and enhancements. So they would include upgrading the science labs, which I know predates me, but people have talked about science labs and the need for those to be enhanced for many, many years. So the science labs, culinary labs, the multimedia centers at all of the schools, performing art spaces. We would install air conditioning in large common spaces, and then also upgrade the electrical services to meet technical and HVAC future demands, improve accessibilities to our schools. It would include district-wide repairs to infrastructure. And then it would also include, like I said, a quarter of the referendum is focused on the full day kindergarten. As you know, we're one of four districts in the state that do not have a finalized plan to implement a full day kindergarten. So it would provide 16 new kindergarten classrooms with restrooms at Brookside Place School, Bloomingdale Avenue School, Walnut Avenue School, and Hillside. All of the locations that currently have kindergarten locations, right? That was clear that was very important to our community in our conversations, through our listening sessions, and also through our surveys. So that is an overall view of the types of things that would be a part of this referendum.
When you talk about these 16 new kindergarten classrooms that would be built at the schools, is this going to expand the footprint of these schools? Will there be additions put on the schools to accommodate these additional classrooms?
Yeah, exactly, Bernie. That's exactly what would happen, is that you would have these additional classroom spaces onto those aforementioned schools in order to accommodate, full day kindergarten. So right now we've got a lottery system, right? So only certain folks have access to that full day kindergarten. And the truth of the matter is, kindergarten is very different than it was years ago. The state curriculum standards, are much more demanding. I don't know if your listeners did not get a chance to listen to our virtual forum. They really should go to our website. That's cranfordschools.org/vote. You can also get to that from our regular Cranford School District website. But you not only have a wealth of information that's there, but you also have a link to the virtual forum that was held. On that virtual forum, you can hear directly from Mr. Klimko, who can give you perspective of a half-day kindergarten class. And you also have Mrs. DeFabio, who I always call Mrs. DeFabulous because she's an amazing kindergarten teacher over at Walnut, who also talks about just the how important it is, the impact full-day kindergarten can have on students.
I think one of the interesting things that has been mentioned by you on the website and elsewhere is that Cranford is one of only four school districts in the state that does not have plans, at least, for full-day kindergarten. We have what's generally considered to be an excellent school system. How are we so far beyond the curve when it comes to kindergarten?
Yeah, I mean, listen, it's not an easy lift, right? I mean, obviously, going through the referendum process gives the community direct voice into their schools, but it's a large process in order to do that. So, I mean, that's why I think it's taken so long, even prior to my arrival, to do full day kindergarten, because it's not an easy thing for communities to do, and in large part, most of the time they have to go through a referendum. It's very hard to do this without, not impossible in districts that might have room for that. We are not one of those districts that has that kind of room and that can do that other than doing it through a referendum. I'll also say, our teachers are fabulous. They work incredibly hard to provide students at all levels with a wonderful education. They work even extra hard at that kindergarten level because the mandated curriculum is for a full day kindergarten. kindergarten. So they've got to work extra hard to do that. And, you know, that's not always great for students that are part of that classroom too, right? There's lots of things that you want to be able to do with these students, both from an academic and from a social emotional standpoint. And, you know, what we're asking them to do and the is very difficult. It's a very tall task of what we're asking our kindergarten teachers to do. And it's also a very tall task of what we're asking students to learn, you know, from our youngest learners. It's very difficult.
While the full day kindergarten is certainly one of the highlights of this referendum, you mentioned in passing some of the other things that are going to be going on. All of the schools have something that they will be getting out of this referendum if it passes. Let's go into a little more detail about some of the things that will be taking place. Let me start with one that I know is an issue. You talk about air conditioning in some of the large common spaces. The schools like Bloomingdale, Livingston, Walnut, and Brookside all were built in the 1950s. Air conditioning was not something that was available for the most part for public schools back at that time. Why are they just considering air conditioning parts of the school and not the whole school?
Yeah, you know, air conditioning, it's a very costly item. You know, and people certainly have different feelings on that, you know, based on where we're located and which times get hot in the beginning of the year, the end of the year. But they do. They become very hot places here in the schools. It makes it very difficult to concentrate and focus. You know, we're trying to hit the right balance here. Air conditioning the entire district would be incredibly costly, to the taxpayers, and then would not also be able to provide some of those other wonderful enhancements, you know, throughout the, you know, the rest of the district. So you're trying to hit the right balance. We thought that, you know, being able to have air conditioning in these large common areas provides a huge benefit to each one of those schools. And at the same time, you can't do more of the air conditioning unless you're upgrading the electric. And so, right, updating the electric not only helps with future technology desires and those sorts of things, but also potentially for future HVAC as well. So the idea of doing them in these large common places, but then also being able to update the electric to allow and to accommodate for potential future air conditioning, we thought was a good way to do that while being sensitive to the cost to the taxpayer.
Tell me about some of the other enhancements that are planned.
So I will share that one of the ones that, you know, very excited about are the multimedia centers. And that's in each and every building gets that new multimedia center. In the smaller buildings, what we would wind up doing is taking what the, you know, there's a very small room in the back, pretty antiquated, that focuses in as a library / multimedia center. In the smaller buildings, that would then come to the front of the building where some use it for kindergarten, some use it as a music room, but that room would become a very a renovated multimedia center. And then in places like the high school and the middle schools, those have very large spaces that would also be renovated to the multimedia centers. And what would wind up happening is, you know, it would transform from places where students are, you know, consuming, you know, information as opposed to directing learning and directing the kinds of information that they're going to get and share with others. Lots of cool spaces where people can partner with one another and collaborate and produce and create material and information, as opposed to just receiving or consuming that information, provides them much greater opportunities. So that's a very exciting, you know, for all of our students.
Obviously, when you talk about these multimedia rooms, when you and I were in school, it was a library and it was books and magazines and that was about it. And now, you know, it evolved over the years to computers being there and other enhancements. But let's look into the future. Is that part of the process with this that, who knows what technology is going to come along and how this is all going to fit into these future needs?
Yeah, absolutely. And you've seen that transformation, you know, throughout the nation, throughout the state, and certainly in Cranford, is the focus is not just specific information or what you know, but how you can apply that information and how you can use it to solve problems and create solutions. And these kinds of spaces, these neat spaces, whether it's the science labs, the multimedia centers, you know, any of these upgrades are really going to create this opportunity for students to experiment, to work together, to collaborate, all of the different 21st century skills that you read articles about and you hear from future employers that these are the kinds of skills that they're looking for when they're hiring. This will make it much easier to be able to provide students with these kinds of opportunities to set them up for success in the future.
We talked about the total cost of $75 million, 26% of that is going to be paid for with state aid. But what does this mean for the Cranford taxpayer? How much will they be required to chip in, so to speak, to pay this if it does pass?
Yeah. So the best thing that people can do is once again, go to the website. That's cranfordschools.org/vote. Again, you could also just Google Cranford Public Schools, go to our website. You'll see a big link on there too. But the direct one is cranfordschools.org/vote. And when you go there, there is a ton of information. What could the bond referendum accomplish? There's a 5-minute video that people can take a look at. Overall, it gives you a bulleted list of what are the opportunities that a bond referendum could provide if it was passed. It also shows renderings of what these classrooms can look like. It shows our virtual forum. That's all on the homepage. You can also click on the projects, and it shows a building-by-building breakdown of what all these projects would look like. It's got a how-to-vote section, FAQs, and it also has funding. So directly to your question, it shows exactly why we're doing the referendum, what the breakdown is overall, and what that looks like. And then it also has a section right in there, what would I contribute? And it shows you a chart. The average assessed home in Cranford is $185,824,000. Now, be careful, that is not the value. Your assessed home is based on your property taxes and not what you would sell your home for. So important that we make that distinction. So people, can go ahead and right here from the website, take a look at what their assessed value would be. But if we take that average assessed home value of $185,824, the estimated impact per month would be $34. Now, what's also very important for people to be aware of is that the second question is planned for the ballot in November 2025. If this goes through, then what we would do is we would have a second question on a ballot in November 2025 to fund the staffing and operational costs for full-day kindergarten expansion. Right. So this would be the operational costs for the staffing. The early estimates from the district's financial advisors indicate that the total tax impact for the second question could be approximately $10 per month. So $34 for the assessed value on $185,824. Again, different than market value. And then an additional potential for $10 for that second question on the ballot in November 2025.
Just again, want to make it clear for clarification. If somebody is voting, this is an all or nothing. You can't say, well, I would like full day kindergarten, but I don't necessarily like this, or I like, the multimedia rooms, but I don't want full day kindergarten. You don't have a menu to choose from on this, correct?
Yeah, because remember, we did all those listening session tours. We had meetings all throughout the community for long periods of time. Continued to engage in that conversation and move things around based on the feedback we got. Also with our committee, and so these are all the things that people had said that they had wanted. Now, that doesn't mean that every single individual agrees with every individual item that's in there, but they agree with, or at least through our mechanisms, we're able to ascertain that these are the kinds of things that reflect their views. And so the idea being that this is the best chance for everyone to get everything that they had wanted, even if it's not every particular thing that any individual wanted. The only other thing I would mention is that also on the website is a frequently asked questions, area. And I encourage people to continue to go there because we keep updating it. So, based on, community questions, we answer the individual resident. But if this is something that keeps coming up, then that's something that we update the FAQs so that every resident can have the benefit of that response. So, our goal really is to make sure that everyone, can make an informed decision. This is critical. This is a very big opportunity for our community. It impacts every resident, and we want to make sure that everyone is aware of the vote. Everyone has all the information and can make the best decision for them, their family, and our community. So please come out to one of our events. Listen to one of our events, whether it was the virtual session, whether you're coming in person, whether it's right here on the radio show. Bernie, thank you for having me as a guest, whether it's going to the website. Please make sure you are staying informed, getting as much information as you can. And please make sure you're going to vote so that you can have your voice be heard.
And Scott has given the website. I've mentioned that it's also available in the show notes for this episode, so you can just click on that and go directly to the page. And again, a reminder, in terms of the voting, you have until January 16th to get your vote by mail application received by the county so that you can vote by mail. And if you choose to vote in person, that the polls are going to be open on Tuesday, January 23rd. And an important note here, it is not like a general election. The polls are only open between 2 p.m. and 8 p.m. So if you show up in the morning, you're going to have to come back later on in the afternoon. So please take note of that. Dr. Scott Rubin, thank you so much for being my guest here on Cranford Radio.
Bernie, thank you very much. I really appreciate it.